Hi, welcome to Sound Healing Radio. My name's David Gibson, and we're here today with Joel Andrews. Hi, Joel.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
Oh, it's wonderful. I'm really feeling the spring. New beginnings.
It's really just an incredibly warm day today. It's like 80 degrees here in San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
What we do is we start with an intention that often when you're speaking, I'll go back to the frequency of that intention. And, we talked a bit. I thought about having it be allowing spirit to come in, allowing.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's what I have to do to bring through the healing music. I have to surrender to spirit. Otherwise, they don't give it to me. So that's wonderful intention.
Cool. So let's hold that frequency for just a second here.
Okay.
Allowing to come in. Nice. Ooh, very good. Okay.
Wonderful.
So tell us about what you do, Joel, and how you got started. Or, well, actually, before we even get going, let's do play a little bit of a piece of you on harp with the beings you work with.
Yeah, this first section comes at the beginning of every concert and almost every healing I do, and it's to surrender to the angels, the masters in spirit, to come in and harmonize and stabilize the environment wherever it's played. So this can just come in to wherever the listener is and to us to just bring this peace and harmony.
Nice. Okay, Seth, go ahead and play just the first 2 minutes here. You don't have to be there for the angels to come, huh?
What do you mean, not be there?
I played this earlier this morning on my stereo, and I totally felt the presence of beings and angelic beings in the room.
Wonderful. Well, that music's in the key of F. In my work, there's a system of symbolism for every note and every element of the music. And that the key of F is associated with nature and the angels and the devas. So that provides a vibration that they can come in if someone's receptive.
Nice. Who are these guys that are
helping us? There are many beings in the inner planes, in the realms of truth, and there are many, many angels. There are thousands of angels on the planet, all with doing different kinds of jobs. But there are also what are called ascended masters, which is, I won't go into it in detail, but they're a being kind of halfway between human and angel. And they can take bodies once in a while. And it's... the angels do work with me. Sometimes people see them over the harp when I'm playing. But more than that, it's these ascended masters who trained me and come through to give me the music.
So these are masters that might have been on Earth at one point then?
Yeah, for instance, the main master, the first one that I channel music from is Kuthumi, and he was St. Francis of Assisi.
Oh, my God.
And he was Kuthumi Lal Singh in India. And, you know, there are four or five lives that the people who know these things describe that he had. For instance, Serapis Bey was Akhenaten in Egypt.
Uh-huh.
So quite a bit is known about the lives that these masters have had. They come in to bring something special that we need.
When did you make the connection?
Well, first of all, I had excellent training as a harpist. I was trained as a concert harpist. I have 3 degrees in music, and I just did everything you can imagine with the harp. I had a 25-year career where I did the ballet. I played with the San Francisco Ballet and opera and symphony work. I did jazz, I did radio work, television work, just everything you can imagine. I even played for births and funerals and everything. And when I was opened as a channel, I realized that all of that was apprenticeship. I needed to learn all the patterns of Western music so they could be activated by these higher beings. But how it actually happened was, but I first should say that my uncle, Gavin Arthur, was like a father to me, and he introduced me to many healers and clairvoyants and people like that in San Francisco. And he took me once to meet a pianist who had been a touring concert pianist. And she had retired from that to work with children at the keyboard. And I was so impressed with that. And she had a wonderful way with children. And I got the idea that maybe the highest destiny of music and art would be to raise consciousness. So that idea was kind of planted in me. So when these big changes started happening, I was open to it. And the way it actually started was, I was on the East Coast, and I was interested in studying Edgar Cayce, the great clairvoyant of America. He did 14,000 past life readings, and he was my mentor. And I would go up to Virginia Beach. I was musician in residence at North Carolina State. And I'd go up to Virginia Beach, and I would give a lecture on the laws of vibration. And after one of these lectures, and I'd always play some, and after one of these lectures, somebody in the audience said, well, could you bring through some music for a person? And I was up for anything in those days, and I said, well, sure, let's do it together. Does somebody know, have a friend who really needs some healing? And give me their initials, because my harp teacher had given me the code for translating letters into pitches, which many of the great composers used, like Brahms. And so they gave me the initials RBL, which is F-sharp, B, F-sharp. So I just quickly made that translation, and I played those letters, and this incredible music came forth. Just unbelievable. Blew us all away. And right after the concert, a woman came up and said, she was just beside herself, and she said, "You're like a New Age doctor." And she said, "Could you do one of these for my daughter?" Now, the daughter was in another state, South Carolina, and I brought through music for her, and it was very powerful. It came in 7 sections, and when she asked me, "Well, what do you think this means?" I just got these past lives. And then she told me that her daughter, what I got was this kind of uncontrollable kundalini energy coming up that I had to pacify. And then she told me that her daughter was an epileptic. And I had just heard an epileptic go into a seizure. I don't know how that was arranged, but I had heard that, and it sounded just like this uncontrollable kundalini energy coming up.
Just before she told you this, you had just heard it?
Yeah, I was hearing this uncontrollable energy in the music.
Oh, I see.
So after that, after I did that, I looked up all the readings that had to do with uncontrollable kundalini energy of Edgar Cayce. And all 23 of those corroborated what I had experienced. So I felt, you know, I felt the hand of destiny, you know, and I thought, what's going on here? So then I was up there again playing a concert in Virginia Beach, and I played some music for a friend of mine who edited a lot of the Edgar Cayce books. And he listened to it, and he was sure there were past lives in it of his. So he invited me up. He called me up on the phone, and he said, "There are 10 people here who want you to do their past lives." Now, all of a sudden, I thought, wow, what's my responsibility? Because, and this is one of the points I want to make to all the sound healers and to everyone, that sound and music is very powerful. A healer, and it must be done very carefully because every part of us is on certain vibrations. So I was really timorous about doing that, but on my way up to Virginia Beach, I used to have a little tape recorder behind my head, and I'd listen to things like Max Freedom Long about the kahunas, and there was a phrase that leapt out at me there that said, "Anything is possible under God." So I thought, oh, well, that's a relief. So the first morning I was supposed to do these people, I said an affirmation. I said, "If I can do this kind of work without hurting myself or anyone else, let those conditions be established in me so I can do it." And I got so high. And I went into that room, and I did, in 3 days, I did those 10 people. Well, they had invited a lady to be there while I did that, and they didn't tell me who she was, but we had a meeting afterwards, and it turned out to be one of the best past life readers in the country, and I was so glad they didn't tell me. So we discussed what happened, and she said that I was doing it, and she said when I first came in the room, I was surrounded with violet light, and when I began the interpretations, I was surrounded with gold light. Now, I didn't know what she was talking about. Now I do. The violet light is transmutation, and gold is wisdom. But she said I was doing it, and that's when my whole life changed. I had planned a concert in New York because I was going to have a professional career, and everything went wrong with that concert. It was in Town Hall. And they lost my harp at Kennedy Airport 2 days right before the concert, so I couldn't practice. It was unbelievable. And I got through the concert, but right after that concert, I decided that I would rather play for one person at a time if it was going to be deep healing rather than 5,000 people for entertainment. and it just changed my whole life.
God, you know, I've been really pondering the precise difference lately between healing and raising consciousness. Because someone told me that when you do healing, that you are in danger of creating karma because you don't really know what is underlying what's going on.
Yes. Yes, karma.
Whereas,
well, you see,
so,
I leave it entirely to these higher forces. I would never pretend, even as much as I've learned in these 30 years, I would never pretend to do it myself. I always go into this altered state. I say two affirmations. One is to protect me from what you're talking about. One affirmation is to put aside my own stuff, and the other affirmation is to offer myself for a certain purpose. And then I think it's safe. Well, it always has been. I've done 3,000 individual healing CDs, and as far as I know, no one has ever been hurt in any way. Well, when I first, you know, when I first went into that room, the second affirmation I said, I will do this work if it won't hurt me or anyone else, and the first time I get any inclination it's hurt anybody, I'm out of there. I'm out of it. But that has never happened in 30 years. And I think it's because I surrender to these superior forces.
What do you have any suggestions? Did it just come naturally to be able to get yourself out of the way or get your stuff out of the way? Or do you have any suggestions how we might do it? Because there's, you know, I get the impression there's like a, everybody talks about, and I believe there's, you know, a transition we're going through right now. And very soon, we're all going to have a lot more ability to heal ourselves as well as each other, but we're going to be able to heal ourselves. And
yeah.
I think, okay, the key to that is getting our stuff out of the way.
Yes. Well, I have these affirmations to do that, and but I think it's not so much in the actual words, you know, but it's more in the true intention. And if one made up some words that they liked that would put aside their own stuff, it would probably work if they had a good intention. And if they call on the highest they know, you see, that's very important. That's one of my messages for the sound healers is whatever words you use to stand for the highest that you know, you should call on that. Like I call on that every time I do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's very important. And then these higher beings are listening, and they hear your sincerity.
Mm-hmm.
And they help you put your stuff aside. But, you know, that's an interesting question you bring up, the relationship between raising consciousness and healing.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a connection there, because if you're able to help a person raise their consciousness, probably some healing is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, yes, there is a responsibility in healing. You don't want to heal somebody else. You want to provide the inspiration, the ambience or whatever, for them to heal themselves. Because if you ever tamper with anybody's free will, I mean, this is a heavy thing, you know. We're not supposed to tamper with anyone's free will. There are heavy penalties for that. We just provide some kind of a ambience, or if they ask for it, actual vibrations from the higher realms. And then it's much safer.
You know, it's somebody asked me if years ago, because you know, I'm really interested in helping, because I believe raising consciousness in ourselves and on the planet is the deal. And somebody said, well, what is that, raising consciousness? So I started thinking about it, and
yeah.
I've come up with two different different results. One is like right now, and one is over time. And
yeah.
The first one is really just being in the vibration of love and the higher frequencies, which may not even be higher frequencies, but just more consistent frequencies of joy and gratitude and appreciation. But then there's the other aspect of raising consciousness, which is my understanding from often from the teachings of Alice Bailey, is it's about, you know, getting your emotional body in check, getting your mental body in check, and then connecting to spirit. And these are different initiations you go through. And
yeah.
those, apparently, you can't rush.
Uh-huh.
Whereas the first, you can just immediately go. But can we help on the second? With these initiations of you know, helping people get to basically, you know, ultimately get their emotional body in check and get their mental body in check and then just be in spirit, like the basically like the Christ energy.
Yes. Well, I think you can help if you have some experience, you can help someone. Like I used to have meetings at the house where we would meditate, and I would lead people into the meditation. And the first thing I would do, I would say, let's give the body the gift of peace, and then let's give the emotional body the gift of peace. Let's come to peace. Let's clear the mind. Now, those are things that are good for everyone, and that
uh-huh.
tends to put the hard stuff aside, you see?
Uh-huh.
And then you could. Then what we would do is we would venture inward to the chamber of the heart, where we can meet the highest that we know, and we can meet the highest that we are. You know, we can meet whatever you want to call it, the Christ or God or whatever. Now, those are suggestions that a person could use, you know, that would help. Because we're not, none of that
right.
is programming anything, you know. It's just
right.
a suggestion
right.
for people to
right.
do.
Good. That's
so meditation is a wonderful ongoing practice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just think of it as suggestions as opposed to trying to heal or do anything to anybody.
Yes. Yeah, it's providing some kind of supportive ambience and suggestions.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Like when you say raising consciousness, what I first thought of was
uh-huh.
every one of us has a part of us which whose consciousness is raised. In other words,
uh-huh.
every one of us has this divine aspect all the time, but it's
uh-huh.
gotten kind of covered over with our learning processes, right? So you could lead somebody into a meditation where you keep suggesting that they go to where their divine part is, you know? That might
nice,
help.
Nice. That seems like a much better way to think of it, you know, as opposed to raising consciousness or raising a frequency. It's really just clearing out to go to the place where your frequency and consciousness are already there.
Yeah. You see, one of the things I've learned from these 30 years of doing this work is that everyone is divine.
Yeah.
And what's going on? We come into this world in divine ecstasy. If you look at a baby, you look at a child, you know, under 3 or 4, they're in that divine state. That's where they are. And then gradually they come into the world. So what I see going on is we are divine beings, but we come to this planet to learn. And every single thing that we see on this planet that may look horrendous is in disguise is a healing. is a learning for someone. Like when the Gulf War happened, I decided I'm not going to watch this. I can't believe it's happening again that we haven't learned this. And then my masters came in, I was meditating, and they said, no, we want you to watch it. And everything you see on the television, you want to ask yourself the question, what is the possible learning for someone in this?
Mm.
Because if you acknowledge that this is God's world, then you have to accept that it is a paradise. I mean, this is
there's
a hard
nothing
one
wrong.
For
it's
most
there's
people.
Nothing wrong.
There's nothing wrong, because if you say God isn't looking, that's blasphemy. That's impossible.
He does. God doesn't sleep.
What?
God doesn't sleep.
No. God is everywhere. Everywhere you are, God is. And so we just have to try to understand it. And so I got this idea years ago, and it's taken a lot of practice, because things come up that you think, you know, this is the devil.
Uh-huh.
But the other thing I've learned is that, because I've done a lot of study, and I've studied some of the clearest truth on the planet, and what it says is that the worlds that we are part of are proceeding, are growing through free will. It's the free will plan. And all the awful stuff we see is kind of a concomitant, you know, it goes along with the free will plan, because we have to have choices. In order to exercise our free will, we have to have choices. I mean, in the central sun universe, there aren't any choices. Everything is perfect. And the beings always love God, always, because that's the way they're made. But in the free will part of the universes, it's not like that. You have to have choices. And one of the greatest revelations is, it's as if God said, I mean, this is very simplified, but it's as if God said, well, now I've created free will, what are the choices going to be?
Mm-hmm.
So this is what we're seeing. We're seeing, especially right now, this is a climax of choice now. Edgar Cayce called it the time of division. Mm-hmm. But when I thought about the Satanists, I came to this revelation that there is no source of evil comparable to God. There isn't any such thing. The real choice that one has is between, and especially the Satanists, is between God and not God.
Uh-huh.
That's the true choice.
Uh-huh.
If you unmask it. So the thing is, when you choose not God, you're choosing unreality, and so you get farther and farther and farther away from God, you see? Because if God
is
everything... Yeah?
I do a meditation in class here at the school that's really powerful, where I have everybody tune in to every frequency in the universe, and we work up to it, you know? We start with like the frequency of the Milky Way moving around the entire universe, and whatever that's moving around, that slowness, that perfect stillness, that still movement is still a frequency, all the way up to the lowest frequency of sound, through each of the chakras, through the highest frequency of sound, up through the frequencies of light, up to the frequencies of the atom. And then we go through it really slowly and have everybody sit back and then tune into all of those frequencies at the same time.
Wow. Wow. Terrific.
And then what I find is not only do you get in tune with all, but then you see that since we are part of that, we all then, that's the place where we're all one.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, to me, that's the definition of holy. It means the whole, being, you know, tuning into and honoring the whole. Yeah, beautiful.
Let's play a little bit of another piece of your music here. If are you there, Seth? If so, we'll play like 9 minutes to 11 minutes, a couple of minutes of the angelic invocation. Album is this off of, Joel?
This is my newest CD, and I'd like to just describe it briefly, if it's okay. It's called Gloria for Gaia. You know, I live up on the North Coast, and I get frustrated that I can't do enough for what's going on in the world, all these challenging things that are going on in the world. And suddenly it hit me that I could sit down and I could channel music for the world. And I did this. I was doing this once a week. And I thought, wow, I ought to put this out. So I asked the masters that give me the music, I said, if I made a CD, would you be able to come every time that's played and charge it and take that music out and do something in the world with it? And they said, of course.
Wow.
Why do you think we brought it through?
Wow.
So I took two of these. I'm sorry?
I said we should blast it into the streets.
Yes, really? So I put two of these together, and I produced it as an album.
Uh-huh.
And the first one is more basic stuff, you know, human love and physical healing. And then the second one gets more into farther out stuff for the planets, really working on the planet. So it's a noble thing to play it all the time. Of course, you play it, it's going to bring harmony and healing to the space wherever it's played and to the listener. But it has this added thing that it's the masters have promised to come whenever it's played and take it out there.
So it's really it's harmony for all beings on Earth, or for the Earth itself as well?
Both.
Or is it
Yeah, it's for the planet and all life on it, all the life forms. Yeah.
Well, we're talking about it. Where can people get it? Or
they can order it on my website, which is 3ws.harpofgold.com. 3ws.harpofgold, all run together, www.thebeginningofmoneyfreedom.com, and there's an order form there. I have PayPal. They can. I have all the CDs that I produced. There's 7 or 8 of them, plus some cassettes for the chakras, and they can order those. They're little sound samples they can hear and see what turns them on, what they need. All the things that I've produced bring peace, harmony, healing, upliftment, sometimes spiritual ecstasy. Because people have had illuminations with the music. But they all have, you know, slightly different uses people have found. And I list some of those as well.
So you've had a lot of I mean, you've been doing this a long time and had a lot of experiences, huh?
Yes. Oh, yes. I started around 1971, 72, about the same time as Stephen Halpern and Yasos.
Uh-huh.
I was one of the first. I was really the first one that focused on healing.
Uh-huh. Tell us about some of the experiences you've had.
Yes. Well, the first recording I did was for the Master Kuthumi, and then the second one was for the Violet Flame. There was a group in Florida of meditators, and they wanted me to bring through music from Saint Germain, who was Seventh Ray Master, and very much involved in keeping the Violet Flame flowing to the earth, because what we're doing is transmuting the past. So Saint Germain and the Archangel Zadkiel, they keep this violet flame flowing to the earth all the time. I call on the violet flame almost once a day. I use it to bless food. I use it to bless rooms when I'm traveling. You know, I'm traveling on tour, and I'm coming to this room, and I don't know what happened in it the night before. So I bring forth the violet flame to cleanse it. So anyway, we're in this studio in Florida, and we're meditating, and nothing's going on in the studio. You'll appreciate this as a sound engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, we hear this loud thramp over the speakers. And afterwards, we ask the engineers, we say, "What was that?" And they say, "We don't know. We were sitting here, and when that happened, the needles went all the way over into the red. And we don't know what that was." And right at that moment, the leader of the group was calling forth the violet flame to flame through the harp and through me and through the sound equipment. So I think the violet flame was sent through the sound equipment to clear out any music, which was not going to be, you know, musical patterns, which was not going to be harmonious with what we were doing. And I actually have that sound. They gave me the tape that had that sound on it, because I guess the tape was rolling. So when anybody wants to hear the violet flame, I say, "Well, I've got it on tape. I can play it for you." And then, just before we were going to record, we're called outside because in this town, I think it was Edgewater, Florida, there was a cloud cover covering the town, and it was coming down pretty far, right over the studio. And we were called out there because right over the studio, there was a circular hole in the clouds. And the violet flame had burned this hole. Because when they bring through a powerful vibration, they bring it through in a kind of a spiral, kind of a funnel-shaped spiral, so that it won't hurt anybody. And that had burned this hole right through the clouds. And when I met somebody who was there, years later I met this lady who was there, and she said, "Well, do you remember the rainbows in that hole?" I said, "No, I didn't notice any rainbows." She said, "Oh, yeah, a number of us saw that the hole was full of rainbows."
Wow.
So that's that kind of thing I really love. Then that afternoon, like I brought through music for two LPs that day. In the afternoon, I channeled for Serapis Bay. And the first channeling was kind of short. It was only about 10 minutes. And I stopped, and my friend said, "Well, is there any more?" And I said, "I don't know. Let's see." So I started playing at the top of the harp, and it was this theme that was right straight out of Johann Sebastian Bach. It was a theme in variations, and it was absolutely incredible. What I was experiencing was I was in this high heaven somewhere, and there were these choirs of angels all around me, nine choirs of angels. And just magnificent. It was like, you know, walking into heaven. And, of course, I couldn't play at all, but I played as much as I could. And it was just magnificent. And, you know, just straight Bach. And when I hear that later, I can't believe how I ever played that. I mean, to me, there's no question whatever that Joel Andrews couldn't do that. So it was given to me. Since then, I've filled out the parts, and it's part of my masterwork is a suite of the elements, earth, air, fire, and water. And this one will be the fifth element, ether. And so I've completed it and recorded it for that piece.
I'm sorry, the fifth element is a new CD, is that what you're saying?
Well, the whole thing will be a CD. They're about 12 or 13 minutes each. There'll be five sections. So I think the whole thing will fit on a CD.
Uh-huh.
But it still has to be recorded.
Uh-huh.
So then I'd like to share some of the individual miracles.
Huh? Because you do individual work with people still now, huh?
Yeah, I do past life readings, if they're interested in that. And these are, they're like a master reading because lives are in series. So we go back to the first one of the series they're in and bring it all the way up, like there are usually three lives, and then the fourth section is music for this life, and it goes all the way to possible ascension for everybody. And so they learn a whole lot about their self-chosen pathway toward God realization. Everyone has some kind of idea, you know, how they're going to go to God consciousness. And that's what we reflect back to them. So I do those. And then if people aren't interested in past lives, I do just a healing CD. And I've done many of those. And that's like continuous music. My basic process is that I get all the equipment set. I say, I tune the harp very carefully, and I translate the name and the birth date into pitches. And when I play that, it's like the file number on their file of Akashic Records. And the holy beings, because I never do it without permission. I don't feel that I can do that. So the holy beings bring out the music, the lives, and the music, and they give the music to me. So I say an affirmation. I go into a semi-trance. It's not a full trance, so I wouldn't be able to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just my hearing opens up, and I play what they give me.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been many, many miracles. Like one I'd like to share is one of the first ones was I did a 20-minute cassette for each chakra, and I did the thyroid chakra. And there was a lady who was taking 7 grains a day of thyroid to keep her thyroid in balance. She heard I had this cassette. She lay down. She listened to it. She was totally healed. She went back to the doctors, and they said, well, you're normal, and no remission. And they said, well, it's working. You might as well keep doing it. then I played a concert in South Carolina, and there was a lady in a wheelchair in the back row. Now, the doctors could find no sensations in her spine. I mean, she was really locked into that wheelchair. While I was playing, she felt these sensations go up and down her spine.
Wow.
She came to me for a past life reading, and it revealed why she was in the wheelchair. She had been a queen, and she needed to learn how to rely on others, you know, not to be commanding people to help her, but to rely on other people. That was her lesson. So she listens to her music, and she gets gradually better and better. So there have been many, many of these cases, just many. But I would like to, and I have a whole bunch of testimonials in my book. I finally wrote a book called A Harp Full of Stars, and it's the miracles of my getting into the work, and it reports 50 of the most unusual cases in the book. And then there are about 30 testimonials there. But I'd like to tell one of the most amazing ones of all. I was asked to take part in a conference in North Carolina, in, I think it was Greensboro, and I was on Friday, and there were all these great people like David Spangler and Patricia Sun and all these people, and I was to play a concert on Friday, and I just didn't see what I could do after all that. Everything had been said, so I asked my masters. And they said, well, you're here to celebrate it. And I had been studying the overtone series. I'd been retuning the harp for a few years. And I couldn't decide. I was in such a state, I couldn't decide whether to use regular tuning or overtone. Of course, the overtone series is the most healing scale of all because it's nature. You know, it's not the tempered scale, what I call the ill-tempered scale. So I was in such state, I just said to the masters, I said, just tell me what to do. And they said, tune to the overtone series. So I quickly did that. And I was so high. When I went out on that stage, I was just laughing because I was so high. So I played the music, and what I love to do, you see, I don't see these masters when I play. My job is just to bring in the vibrations. So what I love to do is to find the clairvoyance in the audience and find out what we did, you see. So after, there were about 500 people there, and I went in among the audience, and I was talking to some of the clairvoyants. Well, they all agreed that when I started playing, 500 masters came down out of the ceiling, went among the people, and did healing on everybody. That was about as many holy beings as people sitting there. And they said, I mean, they all reported all these different healings that took place. Well, this is like something out of the Bible, you know? This is like the healing of the 5,000. And so I realized that, okay, so we have these stories of intervention by higher beings and healings. And if we think that's only back in those times, we're wrong. All those masters and angels are here now. And they can come in if we're open to it. And that was what that was. That was an example of a mass healing 500 people. And it was just through this music, this natural scale that I brought through. So that's one of my favorite ones.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, well, we're talking about a concert. I want to mention that you will be, you're going to join us for the Sound Healing Conference. And Joel's going to be doing a workshop at the conference. It's May 2nd through the 5th. I think your workshop is on Saturday, May 3rd. I don't quite remember.
I think it might be the 2nd.
The 2nd, yeah. Okay. And then we've got the concert that we're going to do on the Sound of Love, which is Saturday, May 3rd, that evening. And you'll be playing then. And then we have a lot of singers that will be joining us as well. And it should be really beautiful. Really beautiful, and I think I'm really looking forward to it myself. You know, while we're talking about love, though, could you tell us what are the main frequencies or notes or pitches and what they relate to, as particularly love?
Well, there's a whole system of the 12. You know, it's a cycle of fifths. I'll just go through them really fast. F is the nature kingdom, the angels. C is ordinary survival. G is how to go about survival, the technology of survival on the earth. And then D is human love. That's the next thing that comes. D spiritualizes human love. A is divine mother, but it's also the... See, the way they're related, each note is the manifesting principle or actualizing principle for the one a fifth below. So they relate that way all the way through. It's an incredible system.
Do they correspond
to the chakras? Divine Mother. I'm sorry?
Do they correspond to the chakras in this way as well?
No. That's a whole other question.
Okay,
conflicting.
Go ahead.
Okay. So we're at A, E is Divine Father, and then B is manifesting the light, manifesting the Father in the world. And then F sharp is artistic sensitivity, you know, the ability to put things into patterns, or at least the sensitivity, because you have to have some way of manifesting the light. Then C sharp is... how to manifest artistic creativity. Then what would be next? G-sharp. G-sharp is the patience to do that, to stick to a project till you finish it. D-sharp is universal love. See, it's an octave above D. So D-sharp is universal love, agape. A-sharp. Now, A-sharp is an octave above A, which is Divine Mother. So A-sharp is the physical on another planet. And often when I do past lives, I get a life on another planet. And then E-sharp is an octave above the E of the Father. So that is, you know, the Divine Father principle on another planet. And so that's how they interlock. And...
This is in your book also, huh?
What?
This is in your book as well, right?
Yeah, it's in the appendix in the back of the book.
Uh-huh.
But we're running out of time. May I just give the different kinds of healings that I do?
Yeah, yeah.
One is the past life reading. It's called Soul Path Realignment. Then there's the healing. I also do one for a couple where the lives they've had together come through. I do one in the Overtone series where you can choose the note that you think fits you. Mm-hmm. I do past life regressions without the music. And I've spent 20 years studying the nature of the subconscious. So with muscle testing, I do a basic self-schemata. But I've just channeled for all kinds of any legitimate purpose gets served.
Well,
yeah.
You know what I would like, unless you have something else you want to add, I was going to do a little, my little closing and then place one more piece on the way out here.
Okay, let me just say that on the road I do
cool.
concerts, workshops, cool. and individual counseling. But I do all these healing CDs long distance. All I need is the birth date and the name.
Thank you so much for joining us, Joel, and thank you for your work. And God, you know, I just honor you with the amount of integrity and love and just pure love that you bring to everything you do. It's your
thank
real,
you so much.
You're like a real mentor for me in that respect.
Well, it's been wonderful to be with you, and I just give my love and light to everybody out there listening.
And so what we can do is hold that frequency of receiving, of bringing in and allowing the spirit and the love to come in into the rest of the evening, into the rest of the weekend, into the weeks to come, into the months to come, and years to come, and lifetimes to come. Thank you all for listening. And we can play from around 12 minutes on, if you're there, Seth. Everyone, take care.